be a demon, but it wasn't. It was a demon slave who waltzed into the cafe and ruined my life. The anger in his voice could have cut glass. Oh, shit. Is that possible? I didn't really know much about how the slave mark worked, but I'd heard the demons could control our actions with it, if they wanted. It explained everything, why he was so mean to me. I would never do that. I'd rather die, I told him passionately. He shook his head.
You'd have no choice. That's my point. I'm here to give you the choice.
With that, he popped open the door and turned to me.
Come on. I grow weaker and weaker every second I'm in this city.
I just nodded. I was totally going to throw up. When I went to open the door, Lincoln's hand came out to stop me.
If something happens to me, make sure my body makes it back to the academy. I don't want to be reanimated.
Oh, my God. The severity of the task at hand came crashing down on me. I could only nod once again. This gorgeous man, who apparently played guitar and was still definitely asshole of the year, was going to fight a brimstone demon for me. If he weren't being asked by the Fallen, I might have said it was romantic. And now that he'd shared his parents' story with me, I was seeing him in a whole new light. I'd be an asshole too if a demon slave blew up my family. Please don't die. You're nice to look at. And that was the last thought I had before all hell broke loose. Pun intended. Chapter 9. The moment Lincoln threw open the doors to the clinic, a dark feeling descended. Burdock appeared suddenly, smoke coming from his horns.
What are you doing here?
He growled, pointing to Lincoln. I just froze, flattening myself against the wall. Lincoln pulled his sword free and pointed it at Burdock's chest.
I challenge you to a fight to the death. If I win, Brielle Atwater is absolved of her slave contract and becomes a free soul.
It felt like time had stopped. There was a kind of charged electricity hanging in the air. Nobody moving. Burdock tipped his head back and roared in laughter, black smoke coming out of every orifice and settling on the ground. My eyes flicked to movement at the back. My mother was watching everything from the open back room door, mouth agape.
Nothing you can offer me is more valuable than her. Trust me. No deal.
He pulled a mace from his belt.
But I will kill you for trespassing.
Lincoln didn't look fazed as he reached behind his back and produced another weapon. That one was extraordinarily larger and shinier. It radiated a certain power, and when Burdock's smoke neared it, it fled, as if in fear.
I present Archangel Michael's sword, freely given to the winner of this fight.
He laid the sword on the ground, the black smoke chasing away from it. Burdock stood there, in absolute shock, eyeing the weapon with the greediest gaze I'd ever seen.
So, I kill you and I get the sword and the girl.
Lincoln nodded, holding out a glowing scroll of parchment paper.
Signed with the blessing of the fallen angels themselves. All four of them.
Lincoln tossed the scroll on the ground. Burdock grinned, then clapped, a red glowing scroll appearing in his hand.
I accept.
He tossed it to the center where the sword and other scroll lay. Lincoln nodded.
Brielle is my witness. Call yours.
Burdock chortled, showing his razor-sharp blackened teeth.
He's on his way, outside. I'll draw the perimeter.
Add mental communication to his powers. Oh, God. Lincoln backed through the doors without ever turning his back to Burdock. I did the same. Michael's sword and the two parchments remained on the floor of the reanimation clinic.
Kate, watch the collateral. If anything happens to it, I'll cue you,
he told my mother. She nodded and scurried forward, picking up the three items. My mother and I shared a look through the glass door, a look that said everything. She wanted this for me. I wanted this for me. I didn't know what it meant for her and Mikey, though, and that had me apprehensive. Turning to face Burdock, I saw his witness had indeed arrived. He'd called Shay's boss, Master Grimm, and Shay was in the driver's seat next to him. Lincoln was sweating a little, clearly weakening with each moment he spent in the city. The second Shay's boss exited the car, Burdock pointed to him.
You are the witness. If I die, this young man gets to live with Brielle and the sword, and her contract is absolved.
Grim nodded, looking Lincoln up and down like he was a meal. Then he spat on the ground, the sidewalk steaming where the spittle hit.
If I kill him, which I will, I get Archangel Michael's sword, and get to keep Riel and her contract. Is that correct, boy?
He asked. Lincoln nodded and stepped into the parking lot.
Let's do this.
Burdock grinned.
Gladly.
Moving forward, he then bent over, spewing black fire onto the concrete. It chased along the parking lot, drawing a perimeter in a perfect circle around Lincoln and himself. The flames danced about 2 feet high, and reeked of brimstone, the acidic sulfur burning my nostrils. Holy end of days. Lincoln's going to die.
That's hellfire, son. So unless you want to meet the Prince of Darkness, I suggest you don't touch it.
Burdock growled. My eyes widened. The fire is a portal to Lucifer? Lincoln glared at Burdock and flexed, popping out his glorious white wings. They stretched in close to a 15-foot span, and he flapped them up and down really hard, blowing out half of the hellfire circle.
You don't scare me, old man,
Lincoln spat. Oh, shit. Burdock was a blur of motion, like a freaking vampire. He was there 1 second and then standing before Lincoln the next. He swung his mace out and connected with Lincoln's chest, knocking into his armor and tearing his shirt. The breath rushed out of Lincoln, but he held steady and used the close proximity to lunge at Burdock with his sword. The Celestial was able to nick his arm before the demon moved away. I'd forgotten to tell him Burdock was super fast. Oops. Burdock swung out with his right arm, intending to clip Lincoln in the face, but the Celestial pumped his wings and shot up into the air, hovering above the demon, out of his grasp. That enraged Burdock, who spewed orange flames from his mouth, without warning, catching the tips of Lincoln's wings. Lincoln panicked, flying higher into the sky, flapping his wings faster in an effort to douse the flames. I chewed my nails as I watched everything go down, wondering how the hell all of this had happened so fast. The fire sputtered out, and then Lincoln suddenly let go. He tucked his wings in, right above Burdock, so he dropped like a 150-pound weight, fast and hard. He landed on top of the tall demon, taking him to the ground, and with one hard slash of the sword, hacked Burdock's left horn off.
Kill this fool! Shay's boss roared.
Black smoke burst from the gaping hole where the horn was, and Lincoln started to cough. The smoke covered their bodies, hiding them from view, until all I could hear was grunting and the clanging of metal against metal. My startled gaze found Shay across the lot, looking completely shocked and confused. Her slack jaw and death mark tattoo had a thought forming in my mind. A crazy thought. A thought that could get me killed. Suddenly, a bright blue light rose above the black smoke, and then Lincoln was flying out of it with Burdock in his arms. My master was hornless, bleeding, and freaking enraged. He shouted in anger as Lincoln flew them higher and higher. Then he dropped Master Burdock. From 50 feet up. The demon screamed the entire way down, spewing fire and smoke as he fell. When he crashed into the parking lot, pavement caved in like a crater, and chipped up at the edges. His legs had to have been broken, but he didn't seem to care. He pulled a dagger from his boot, and as Lincoln sped toward him, sword outstretched, the demon flung the dagger straight at him. I screamed, but it was no use. It sailed through the space between them and sank into Lincoln's thigh. With a painful roar, the Celestial dropped clumsily the last few feet and landed awkwardly, snapping his ankle. I could hear the crack of bone from where I stood. I winced, stepping forward to help in some way, when my mom pulled me back.
No interference, or it voids the whole thing. He's got this.
I wanted to protest, to run in there and help, but she was right. It was probably against the rules, and he was so close. It looked like he really had a chance.
I could be free.
Lincoln and Burdock were staring at each other, both bleeding and broken. Lincoln took a calming breath and then opened his eyes. They were an eerie blue, and glowing.
Back to hell with you, demon!
He roared, and then swung his sword. Burdock swung his mace in circles around his head, and then, just as Lincoln got close, he let go, intending for the mace to smack Lincoln in the face. Lincoln raised his sword, and a blinding blue light shot out, sending the mace to the ground and shattering it into 100 pieces.
Whoa.
You could see it in Burdock's face, the moment when he knew he had lost. He opened his mouth to speak, but Lincoln came down sideways with his sword and took the demon's head clean off before he could utter a word. Holy freaking shit. Burdock's dead. The glowing red contract in my mom's hand puffed to ash, and we both gasped. I was free. I was a free soul. Tears slid down my mom's face, and I wanted to enjoy the moment with her. It was everything I'd wanted, to be free of this shithole. Everything my mother wanted for my life as well. But I couldn't enjoy it. Not with my best friend standing across the way. Death mark on her arm, dark circles around her eyes and bruises on her face. Tainted Academy was going to break her. Her strong, beautiful spirit was fading day by day. And I'd made a promise to never let that happen. I wouldn't let her go dark. Your slave mark is gone, my mom said, mystified. I rubbed my forehead in shock. Lincoln is so going to kill me. I reached out and took Michael's sword from her. I love you, Mom, I told her, then advanced into the circle, stepping over Burdock's severed head. I pulled my dagger from my boot, and it flared to life, emitting a golden yellow buttery light. I pointed the tip of the blade at Shay's master. Grim, I challenge you to a fight to the death. If I win, Shay's contract is absolved, and she's a free soul. Chaos erupted. My mother, Shay, and Lincoln all screamed in protest. If Lincoln hadn't just killed my mom's boss, I would have fought him to free her. But seeing as though he was dead, there was no way to get my mom's contract. I had to fight for Shay while I had the chance. I knew my mother would understand. Eventually. Assuming I survived. Master Grimm just smirked, his eyes flashing red.
And if I win?
He took off his jacket, revealing a hairy, scarred chest with leathery skin. I threw Michael's sword at his feet.
The sword of Archangel Michael, freely given.
I tried to remember the wording Lincoln had used. More like freely stolen, but I was hoping that wouldn't matter. He grinned.
And you? If I win, I want the sword. And you. And I change the terms from fight to the death to forfeit. If one of us forfeits, we may keep our life.
Fine,
I replied through gritted teeth, before my nerves got the best of me.
Absolutely not.
Lincoln burst forward, limping. The knife still stuck out of his leg. The tips of his wings were burned, and his hands looked bloody and battered. He hooked a hand under my armpit and started to drag me toward my car.
Are you crazy?
Blood-tinged spittle flew from his mouth in rage.
We can do this, Sarah egged me on. Shay is family.
I clenched my jaw and pointed to Shay, standing with my mother at the edge of the circle in shock.
The girl right there is my sister, I told him.
He furrowed his brow as he looked from my pale skin to her brown tones.
And I know you don't trust me or know me that well yet, but one thing you will learn is that I'm loyal as fuck, and I'm not leaving her behind. I'd rather die.
He looked defeated, weak, and tired.
Then you might just get your wish.
Lincoln collapsed onto the back of my car, blood leaking from his leg. Does that mean he's allowing it? I didn't wait to find out. Turning, I faced the Grimlock demon.
I accept your terms.
He sneered and clapped, producing Shay's contract and handing it to my mother.
My witness will be here any moment, he stated.
Lincoln was mumbling something, reaching for me. Shit. He was getting worse by the minute. I opened the back of the car and helped him inside. Are you going to be okay? I asked. Should I call for help? He shook his head.
No one can help me in here. Just make this quick. The longer you draw this out, the better chance you have of losing.
Thanks for the confidence. I turned and came face to face with Shay, tears pouring down her cheeks.
What the hell are you doing? Call it off!
I shook my head.
I'm not leaving without you. You'll go dark, we'll stop talking, and my mom will cry all the time. So no.
She barked a laugh through her tears and threw herself at me in a bone-crunching hug.
He has an old left knee injury. Pains him all the time. His throat skin is the thinnest. Everywhere else is like rubber, she whispered,
then pulled back. It hit me then that I was about to kill a man, or at least attempt to. The thought was horrifying. Demon or not, I was about to become a killer. Looking across the parking lot, I saw his witness was the Abruce demon that was going to buy my contract. Great. I moved to walk into the circle when Lincoln snaked an arm out and grabbed my wrist.
If she's really your family, then there's nothing that can stop your Seraph Blade from defending her.
Whatever I was going to do, I needed to hurry. The back of my SUV was overflowing with crimson blood. It started to rain, as it often did in Demon City, mercifully snuffing the black portal fire.
"When he advances, kick his left knee out, and then go for his throat," Sarah told me.
It was like having my own personal battle instructor in my head. Taking a deep breath, I popped out my wings. I didn't exactly know how to fight yet, but I could at least hover, which could be useful in a bad situation. The demon grinned, black leathery bat-like wings erupting from his back.
Oh shit, what have I done?
Without ceremony, he charged for me, holding a big-ass flaming red serrated sword, flapping his wings to hover and advance his height.
"Plan B," Sarah shouted. "Slide under him and cut his groin."
My eyes bugged out. What? But I didn't have time to protest. He would be on me in a second. Here goes nothing. I used his momentum and dropped to my knees. As he sailed over me, I arched back and thrust Sarah into his groin. I connected with something, but wasn't sure how much damage I'd inflicted. He didn't even scream, and the dagger pulled away clean. Popping up into a standing position, I flapped my wings twice and hovered. Grim was coming at me. Fast.
"This is for Shay."
The only thing standing between us being free souls together was him. There was no way in hell that I was letting that happen. He flew at me, his long flaming sword outstretched. We were going to collide, and there was nothing I could do. With no shield or armor, that sword would gut me like a fish.
"Stick out your leg," Sarah urged.
I did, connecting with his chest as he sliced into my outer thigh with his sword. Searing pain tore through my leg, and a wail ripped from my throat. The bastard had cut me, but at least my guts were still firmly inside my body. He grinned and then flew backward to get better momentum, but I didn't give him the chance. With a battle cry, I flapped my wings harder than ever before and rushed him, intending to cut into his neck. As I lunged for him, he moved down, and my dagger went into his eye instead. Good enough.
"Keep it in there," Sarah shouted.
The dagger lit up a searing hot blue color, and Grimm's high-pitched wails filled the air. He started to lash out blindly, attempting to slice me. I had to let go, and leave the dagger in his eye to avoid being cut again, abandoning my only weapon. Beams of white light shot out of his ears as he continued screaming.
"Shay is family," Sarah declared in a vicious voice. "She's ours, not his."
Holy shit, my weapon's gone postal. I dropped the pavement as he fell in front of me, trying to pull the dagger out of his eye. The hilt kept burning in his hand, so he had to let go, unable to keep a strong enough grip to remove it. Now that he was on the ground before me, and I was weaponless, I wasn't sure what to do. I took too long to think about it, and he grabbed me by the neck, throwing me across the lot. I didn't have time to pump my wings as I sailed across the space quickly, so I landed hard on my ass, pain exploding in my tailbone. I got the sense from his drunken walk and tearing vision that he couldn't see well out of his remaining eye, or else he would have already cut me open easily with his scary-ass sword. He still managed to stalk toward me at an alarming speed, ripping across the pavement with a growl.
"Get up and kick out his knee," Sarah instructed.
Oh yeah, the knee injury. I shot up, moaning when the pain tore into me. My lower back and leg were jacked up for sure. My left outer thigh was cut and bleeding, so I used my right leg to support my weight as I lifted my left into the air and sent all of my power into the kick. Just as he reached me, my booted foot connected with his kneecap, and a snapping sound rang out across the parking lot.
"Kick his ass!"
Shay shouted in a throaty scream. That was the Shay I knew, the fiery spirit who'd been broken down lately.
"Finish it," my mother added, encouraging me.
He dropped his sword, and as the demon went down, Sarah sent me a bunch of mental images, flashes through my mind of things she wanted me to do. I didn't have the luxury of stopping to think about them or questioning them. I also didn't want him to have the time to forfeit and live. I threw myself over him, grabbing the knife, the hilt cool to the touch for me. Pulling it out of his eye with a nasty sucking sound, I went to slam it into his throat.
"I forfeit,"
he screamed. "Screw that." I brought my arm down hard, but an unseen power wrapped around my wrist, suspending it an inch from his throat. My eyes flicked up to the Abruce demon. He had one of his hands in the air, playing me like a puppet. He raised his arm, and suddenly my body was lifting off the Grimlock demon. Then his power left me, and my feet slammed to the ground, pain shooting up my thigh.
"You've won," he reminded me in a smooth voice. "Run along. Don't worry. We'll be seeing each other again very shortly."
His eyes rested on Sarah.
"Nice Seraph blade."
I swallowed hard and then glanced at Shay in shock. Her forehead was free of the crescent moon tattoo. Her contract in ashes on the ground. Holy shit. I looked at my mom as she rushed over, head bent low, submissive. Handing me Michael's sword, she pulled me in for a hug.
"I'm very proud of you. Call me later, but don't ever come back here again."
Her words shocked the absolute shit out of me. Tears swam in my vision, making it blurry.
"Mom, what about you and Mikey?" I was starting to feel dizzy. How much blood have I lost?
"We'll be fine. Go," she said more firmly. Then turned her back on me, to walk back inside the clinic.
What will happen to her?
Why is her mark still there if I killed our boss? I had 100 questions, but a wave of dizziness took me again. When I looked down, I saw I was standing in a puddle of my blood.
Shit.
Everything was starting to blur at the edges. Shay hooked a hand under my armpit, hauling me into the back of the SUV and pushing me lightly so my body interlocked with Lincoln's. 2 bloody, half-dead people spooning in the back of my SUV.
"Get us to the academy,"
Lincoln told her weakly. She slammed the back door and ran to the driver's side. My back was against Lincoln's chest, his warm breath coming out in short rasps against my neck.
"You're the craziest girl I've ever met."
He reached out to me with a glowing orange hand. With a jolt, the car peeled out, and I remembered Shay didn't have a license. Too weak to care, I just stared at the glowing orange hand as he laid it on my bleeding thigh. He was trying to heal me. He was bleeding to death, weak as shit, and still trying to heal me.
"You're the hottest guy I've ever met," I said stupidly.
The blood loss had obviously made me loopy, let my inhibitions down. A low laugh erupted out of me, and then a black wall slammed into me as I lost consciousness. Chapter 10. My consciousness returned in bouts. I remembered Noah standing over me screaming. Then there was a bright golden light, and Raphael appeared. I remembered Lincoln's terrified face hovering over me, and Shay crying. It all came in snippets, like a dream. Now, I could feel bedsheets underneath me. My ribcage, thigh, and tailbone were throbbing. I tried to speak, but only croaked. Opening my eyes, I winced against the bright light. Shay's face swam into view.
"You crazy bitch! Don't ever do that again!"
she scolded, sticking a finger in my face for good measure. I tried to smile, but my face hurt.
"I can promise you that."
Shakily lifting a hand, my thumb brushed across her clear forehead. She burst into tears then, and threw her arms around me.
"Thank you,"
she sobbed in my ear.
"Mi familia."
"You're welcome. Mi vida loca."
I didn't really know Spanish, but I threw out what I did randomly because it always made her laugh. I was rewarded with that laugh now. Peering around for the first time, I noticed I was in some type of medical room, with only a chair next to my bed. The door was propped open, leading out to a tiled hallway.
"You're in the healing clinic at Fallen Academy," she told me.
I nodded. "Am I expelled? In deep shit?" We were free souls, but without jobs we wouldn't be able to live in Angel City. And now we were banned from Demon City. We were basically homeless if they wouldn't take us. She shrugged.
"I don't think so. I mean, there was a lot of yelling, but I heard the words, brave idiot, tossed around a lot."
"Seems like the old dude likes you." I smiled. "Raphael." "Is Lincoln okay?" I asked, eyeing the open door. That time it was her turn to smile.
"You mean the hottie who fought for your freedom?"
"Yeah, his injuries were pretty minor. Being in Demon City was just zapping his energy or whatever. Once we got over the border, he perked right up. Moderate blood loss and some stitches, I heard them say." I sighed in relief. "Is he pissed at me?" She grinned again.
"So pissed. Unnaturally pissed. He punched the wall."
She pointed to a hole in the plaster. I grimaced. Her hand rested on my shoulder.
You almost died, Bree. You can't go fighting demons like you're some badass.
I'd nearly killed a demon, so I was arguably a badass. But I wasn't going to say a word. Shay would go all Puerto Rican on me, start cussing in Spanish, and wave her angry hands in my face.
So I just nodded, glancing at the pile of my clothes on the chair, and noticed for the first time that I was wearing a thin white cotton gown and nothing else.
Where's Sarah? I asked, eyeing the gown. Shay frowned.
Who?
My dagger. Dawning shone on her face.
Ah, yes. In the middle of his rant, Lincoln ripped it off you and said you weren't allowed to have it outside of weapons and battle training.
That motherfuck.
Brielle, you're awake.
Raphael's voice came from the open doorway. I sat up, nervously clutching the sheet around my body. Raphael was with Mr. Claymore, both looking at Shay.
Come in,
I told them.
Please don't kick us out.
What you did was very dangerous,
Raphael chastised me. I frowned.
I know, but...
But also admirable. I'm very taken with the story. To save your sister from a lifetime of slavery like that. It's touching.
Shay raised one eyebrow at me. Sister? I asked. I mean, yeah, I considered her my sister, but...
Lincoln said you two were family,
Raphael stated, seemingly oblivious to the fact that Shay's hair and skin were about 10 shades darker than mine.
Lincoln told them that?
Maybe they would only let her stay if she was related to me. I grasped Shay's hand.
We are, and if you kick me out, we'll have nowhere to live, but no pressure.
Both gentlemen laughed and exchanged smiles. For a man in his early 40s, Mr. Claymore was quite handsome. His short brown hair weaved through with silver streaks over kind eyes.
We're not kicking you out,
Raphael assured.
I brought Mr. Claymore to see if it was possible to erase Shay's death mark, assuming that's what she wants. That way she can become a student here. Room and board is included, of course.
I wanted to act tough, but I couldn't. Tears leaked from my eyes. Shay shot out of her chair.
Yes, that's all I've ever wanted. I took the mark against my will. They pinned me down and...
Her voice broke before she could continue. Mr. Claymore frowned, stepping forward.
If that's true, if you took the mark against your will, then I can easily remove it. It'll take a day or two for me to brew the potion, but it'll fall away as if it were never there.
Shay's chest was rising and falling, clearly trying to hold her shit in. Raphael clapped once.
Then that's that. I suppose you two would like to room together. I'll have the groundskeeper make up your room so you can get settled. Were you able to bring any belongings?
Shay and I shared a look. Yeah, right. We ran like a bat out of hell. Pun intended. I'd packed a bag like Lincoln told me to, but it had one pair of clothes and one pair of underwear with my toothbrush. Nothing to last me forever. No, and I'm worried about my mom and my brother, I confessed to him. He nodded, his glossy hair falling around his shoulders.
I spoke with your mother an hour ago when she called to inquire about your health. She said she's fine and has been permitted by her new employer to visit you once a month. She can bring your belongings then. In the meantime, we have an overflowing lost and found pile that I'll have Mrs. Greeley bring in for you to go through.
I barely heard the rest of it. Glad my mom was okay. I was curious who her new master was, though. I was kind of hoping that when Lincoln killed Burdock, she would be free.
One more thing.
Raphael held up a finger.
School, room, and board is free here. But if you want extra cash, you'll need to get part-time jobs. I happen to know that the clinic is looking for someone, Brielle. And with your healing abilities, you'll be hired on the spot.
My healing abilities I know nothing about. I nodded.
Thank you, sir. I'll look into it.
Mr. Claymore looked to Shay.
And I could always use a mage student to keep my supplies organized. Crush my powders. Help with the potions.
Shay, eyes wide, just nodded.
They were letting us stay. They gave us jobs.
Holy shit. Angel City is heaven on earth.
We were finally free of the darkness that had lurked over us most of our lives. We were slaves to no one. We were free souls. And it felt good.
Raphael went to leave the room, but I sat up straighter. Sir, one more thing. He turned. Lincoln took Sarah, my Seraph Blade. Can I get it back? Surely he thought it was preposterous that Lincoln was treating me like a 5-year-old. He frowned.
I've put Lincoln in charge of your training. If he feels you shouldn't have the blade outside of classes, then there's nothing I can do.
With a bow, they both left.
Grr. Lincoln was lording his power over me. But damn it, he'd given me my freedom, so I was going to have to do whatever he said.
Oh, God. A memory came back to me then. He'd called me crazy, and I'd called him hot. I hid my face in my hands, mortified, praying he'd forget. When I looked up, I saw Shay staring at a blank spot on the wall, her face a mask of complete shock. What's wrong? I asked her. Aren't you happy? She nodded. I'm so happy, but it feels weird. I'd forgotten what happy felt like.
I smiled and reached for her hand.
Promised you I wasn't going to let you go dark. She nodded. And I promise you not to let you get through your first year without kissing Lincoln.
My eyes widened. Shay, stop. He's my teacher, kind of. And an asshole, kind of. Anyway, not happening.
She grinned. That was a lot of kind ofs. I punched her arm and she laughed. There was a knock on the door then, and a short brunette woman in her early 40s came in, holding a huge basket of clothes. I even saw a backpack and water bottle poking out. She also held a pair of crutches.
How are you feeling, dear?
She asked, setting the basket down and setting the crutches at the end of my bed. I recognized the Raphael tattoo on her arm. A little sore, but I'm okay. She nodded.
I'm Ms. Greeley. I'm in charge of the healing clinic here at the Academy. Raphael tells me you're looking for some part-time work. I'd love to hire you.
I nodded. Yes, ma'am. That would be wonderful. She smiled and handed me a packet.
Fill this out and bring it by tomorrow. Then we can go over the schedule.
I grabbed the packet, clutching it to my chest. I will.
I'd traded up, from washing dead bodies at the reanimation clinic, to this.
You girls are free to leave. Housekeeping is putting linens on your beds. Here's a map with your room designation. Come back if you feel any worsening pain, and take anything you like from the lost and found.
She indicated the basket of clothes she'd set down. I nodded.
We will. Thank you so much.
She smiled and then left the room quietly. Shay glanced at the map.
Dude, this place is huge. Way bigger than Tainted Academy.
I still couldn't believe I'd gotten her out of there. That I was out of there. I rubbed my forehead in disbelief at the slave mark being gone. Swinging my leg gently over the bed, I gestured to the pile. Help me find some clothes. There was no way I could put that torn and bloody jumpsuit back on. Shay rummaged through and found a pair of large, smelly sweatpants and a too-tight tank top. After I shimmied into them, we both looked at my clothes and burst out laughing.
It's going to be a rough 2 weeks until we get paid, Shay admitted,
once she'd calmed a bit. I winced. Maybe my mom can send Mikey with some underwear. Shay nodded, hopeful.
Please, God, yes. I don't want to freeball it unless I absolutely have to.
After we filled the backpack with a water bottle, headphones, a hoodie, 2 gym shirts, and an umbrella, we checked out of the clinic and searched the grounds for our room. We quickly got lost and realized Shay had been reading the map upside down. Once I took over, we found Bright Hall. The common room was bustling with students, the female-only Bright Hall sharing the room with the all-male Stone Hall. I was thrilled when I saw Luke and Angela introducing Shay before giving them a brief rundown of what had happened. After their shock subsided, they were super enthusiastic that we'd both be attending the academy full-time.
Oh my God, girl. Now I have someone to freak out over the gauntlet with.
Luke squealed.
The gauntlet?
Shay asked wearily. Angela leaned in.
It's the end-of-the-year test to graduate you, she whispered. If you fail, you go home, and good luck getting a magical job. You'll end up with some shitty human job, maybe private security for a rich human family. If you pass, you're admitted into the second year here.
My eyes widened. I'd imagined a written test, maybe a few sword moves, but the gauntlet?
Well, you're a third year. Can you tell us how hard it was?
She shook her head.
We've all been spelled not to, but trust me, you'll need every advantage you can get, so study hard. That's all I can say.
The light suddenly flickered,
and we were told we needed to go to our rooms for lights out. Once we bid Angela and Luke goodnight, we made our way down the hall to room 11. Leaning against the doorframe was Tiffany. When her eyes landed on me, they narrowed, jumping from my outfit to Shay's death mark, and then to my crutches. Finally, they rested on my forehead.
"What happened to your slave mark, Archie?"
she crooned, still blocking our door. I glanced at Shay, who looked absolutely feral, then shrugged. It must have rubbed off on Lincoln's chest while we were in the back of my car. Her whole face flared red, anger boiling out of every pore.
"Enjoy the room. It used to be mine, and now I have to share."
She blasted past me, knocking into my shoulder. Pain shot up from my tailbone at the jostling.
"I can make her hair fall out. I learned how at Tainted Academy," Shay growled.
I waved my hand. "She's not worth it. She's obsessed with Lincoln, so I'm pretty sure I just ruined her night." Shay grinned.
"That was a really good line, I must say."
With a laugh, I opened the door. The room was small but cozy and clean. It had a window in the middle of the back wall, and a twin bed with drawers underneath on each side of the space. Typical dorm style. There was shelving high above the beds, about 2 feet from the ceiling that wrapped around the room, containing books and other magical items. I spotted jars of weird-looking things, like frog legs on Shay's side. And on mine, there were books on the angelic realm and other celestial-related things.
Whoa. At Tainted, we had to pay for all our books.
She stepped up on the powder-blue bedspread and started rummaging through the volumes. At the end of each bed was a desk, and mine held a new class schedule.
"Hey, we got new schedules. Check yours," I told her.
When my eyes fell on my new start time of 8 a.m., I nearly wept. Reading more, I started to laugh. Lincoln had clearly made my schedule. Brielle Atwater. Fallen History, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., room 506, Mrs. Delacourt. You may retrieve your dagger from Lincoln's trailer at 9:01 a.m. Battle Class, 9:05 a.m. to 10 a.m., room 511, Master Bradstone. Weapons, 10:05 a.m. to 11 a.m., room 405, Mr. Claymore. Lunch, 11:05 a.m. to 11:55 a.m., dining hall. Celestial Master Studies, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., 30 minutes each master teacher. Training Hall, 304. Studies of Light, 2:05 p.m. to 3 p.m., room 401, Mr. Rhinecore. 3:01 p.m., return your dagger to Lincoln's trailer, or else. He was so grumpy. After comparing our schedules, I was sad to see I only had 2 classes with Shay, battle class and weapons. But it was getting late, and I felt like I'd been hit by a truck. Pulling my dead phone out of my messenger bag, I groaned. It was useless without the charger, and that was right next to my bed back home. I'd have to borrow someone's phone tomorrow and call my mom, make sure she and Mikey were okay, and that she would continue to take care of Bernie and Maximus without me there. I didn't bother showering, just crawled into bed.
"I'm glad we're in this together," I mumbled to Shay.
She peered at me.
"Me too. And if you want Blondie's hair to fall out, just say the word."
I fell asleep with a smile on my face. Chapter 11. Shay and I were relieved to hear that 3 meals and 2 snacks a day were included in the free tuition here, so it looked like we just needed to earn enough money to pay for personal items. I was so nervous to see Lincoln after everything that had happened that I nearly threw up that morning during breakfast. I'd eaten 2 bites of my oatmeal, and then my stomach threatened to upheave it, so I pushed it away. I'd awoken to find that I no longer needed my crutches, and other than some slight throbbing pain when I walked and itching around my stitches, I was healed. It would take a while to get used to that. Shay said she wasn't nervous, but I knew she was. We'd both gone to the seamstress to get new jumpsuits early that morning, but Rose didn't have any more long-sleeved ones. That meant Shay's death mark was on full display.
"It'll be gone in a few days," I reminded her.
She just nodded, keeping her arm tucked across her chest. When the bell sounded, both of us jumped a little.
"Okay, I'll see you in battle class," I told her.
She nodded again. I sat through history, trying not to doze off. Everyone had heard the story. Lucifer rose from hell to wreak havoc on Earth. A war broke out in heaven. The archangels fell to fight Lucifer, yada yada. Then we all got powers, and now we were screwed.
But when Professor Delacourt, a centaur, started talking about Raphael, my attention snapped back to the lesson.
Lucifer unleashed his creatures onto the earth, intending to build a bridge to the angelic realm so they could climb, and then wipe out all of the Creator's most blessed creatures. But it was Raphael who decided to lead the fight and come to Earth, meeting them head-on before they could go through with the plan and kill the angels.
They didn't teach that in Demon City. She continued, pointing to a poster with drawings of different angels in a form of hierarchy.
Up here at the very top we have the Seraphim, the guardians of the Creator's throne.
I was practically hanging off my seat with interest now. The Seraphim were who was rumored to have made my dagger.
Then, the Cherubim, angels of harmony and wisdom. The Thrones, angels of will and justice. The Dominions, who are the angels of intuition, and guide the lower angels on their paths.
Her hand lifted, pointing to a picture of an angel holding a scale.
The Virtues, angels of choice. The Powers, who are my personal favorite,
she crooned.
They're the warrior angels.
Whoa, I had no idea there were so many kinds. I raised my hand and she pointed to me.
Brielle?
So, is Michael a warrior angel? She shook her head.
He is one of the lowest and yet most noble angels. An archangel, which are the protectors of mankind.
I didn't know why I was emotional over her words, but I was. A war broke out, and the lowest rung of angels, the archangels, left the realm and fell to help humanity? Why didn't the powers or whatever do anything? I asked. She sighed.
I don't know, but a war broke out in the angelic realm over it. There are a lot of rules, and Raphael and the other archangels broke some of them to come here.
They broke the rules. Whoa. Did they get in trouble? Before I could ask, the bell rang. I had 4 minutes to get to Lincoln's trailer and retrieve Sarah, then go to battle class. Snatching my bag, I took off, limping through the quad. I still had stitches in my thigh, so I had to be careful. The angelic healing had worked wonders, but a little bit of man's medicine was needed as well. I tore across the parking lot as quickly as I could, and hobbled up the steps to his trailer. Whipping out my key, I thrust it into the lock and flung the door open. Lincoln was sitting at the dining room table, eating scrambled eggs and an apple. My dagger was on the bench next to him.
Geez, do you have to bust in here like a cop? Feel free to knock next time and see if I'm home, he groaned.
I was panting like a wild animal, my mouth dry from breathing open-mouthed on my way here. I hadn't expected Lincoln to be there. I didn't know what to say to him. He was acting totally normal, like we hadn't almost died together, like I hadn't called him hot.
I didn't think you'd be home, I said between gasps.
He nodded.
Took the day off to finish healing.
Healing? He was hurt. I swallowed hard, trying to find saliva so I didn't look like a horse with my lips stuck to my teeth. Hey, about yesterday. Thank you so much for what you did. He nodded.
And?
He pinned me with a blue-eyed glare. A frown scrunched my brows. And I'm sorry? I winced.
And?
He added with a nod. I growled. I'm sorry I almost got us killed, but Shay's my family. I couldn't leave her.
And?
His eyes opened like a crazy person. I crossed my arms. And what? The asshat was going to make me late.
And you will never, ever do anything like that again.
His hands balled to fists. I rolled my eyes. Obviously, I'm not that stupid. Of course I wasn't going to make a habit out of fighting higher-level demons and almost dying. He grinned.
Are you sure?
I stepped forward, snatching the dagger off the seat with one hand and his apple with the other, taking a bite to wet my mouth. Later. I slammed the apple down on the table, sans one bite, and laughed. Lincoln Gray lit a fire within me. I wasn't sure if it was a good one or a bad one, but I was engulfed in the heat nonetheless. The rest of the week passed rather quickly. Shay had her death mark removed, but not before everyone saw it. Tiffany was now referring to us as Archie and Darky, respectively. Being that Shay was a woman of color, she didn't take too well to the nickname and had accidentally tripped in the lunchroom and spilled scalding hot soup all over Tiffany's chest. It was the highlight of my week. Shay would normally have rearranged her face, but we had a good thing going at the school, so she wasn't going to mess it up and get kicked out over name-calling. At least, not yet. Tiffany hadn't called her darky since then, so I think it worked. Mikey had dropped off 2 huge duffel bags of our stuff, including homemade cookies, and a sweet note from my mom. Now that I had my phone charger, I was able to call and text her. Her new boss was Grim, the demon I'd almost killed to free Shay. Whoops. He and Master Burdock had an agreement that if he was killed, Master Grim would inherit his clinic and contracts. I guess because Lincoln had cut off Burdock's horns, he couldn't be reanimated. Thank God for that. My mom mentioned that Master Grim was so busy with his strip clubs that he let her run the clinic, so she was actually alone most of the time there, and happier for it. Dude, when was the last time we went to a club? Shay asked, eyeing the flyer for Chloe's birthday party at her dad's club that night. Like a year, I told her, rummaging through my clothes. God, Mikey and my mom packed all practical clothes. Nothing cute, I griped. Angela and Luke were in our room. Luke was doing Angela's makeup, carefully applying black thick winged eyeliner. He paused from reaching for her false eyelashes, and she nodded at me. You guys can raid my closet. You're a bit taller, Bree, but otherwise you're about the same size. Shay and I shared a conspiratorial look. You sure? Shay asked. She spent like 6 hours after class the night before, rolling her curly hair into twists, then slept on a silk pillowcase. Now the curls hung chin high, like perfect little wrapped locks. She was clearly more excited for the party than I was. She'd met my celestial master's teacher and was crushing on Noah hard. I'd started work at the healing clinic, where Mrs. Greeley informed me that Noah was in charge, second to her, and assured me my healing lessons would start there with the smaller cases. Other than hovering, doing basic karate and blocking, I hadn't learned to do any of my celestial magic yet. I'm sure I have a hot red silk jumper that would look great with your skin tone, Shay, Angela encouraged. You didn't have to tell us twice. We tore down the hall laughing, then spent the next 30 minutes making a mess of her closet. Shay had indeed decided on the red jumper. The pants were straight-legged and tight in the butt, while the top was sleeveless. We'd have to duct tape Shay's big boobs because apparently my mom didn't think a strapless bra was a necessity. After much deliberating, I decided on royal blue silk shorts with a lace hem and black silk corset top. It was more revealing than I normally wore, but Shay assured me I looked totally boneable. Her words, not mine. Considering I'd only boned one guy, and it was the most awkward 30 seconds of my life, thank you, junior prom, I wasn't looking to do so with anyone that night. Shay had picked her infinity weapon in class, a small fist-sized circular blade that you could grasp like Wolverine claws. She tucked that blade into her purse now. Even Angela was bringing a weapon. Should I get Sarah? I asked them. Angela nodded. We are Fallen Academy students in the middle of a war. It's rare, but attacks inside Angel City do happen. I wondered if Lincoln was home. I was wearing my trusty boots, so I could just slip it inside and no one would know. Lincoln hadn't said anything about taking my car back now that I lived in Angel City, so I was just going to keep driving it until he did. I pulled off my key and handed it to Angela. Meet you in my car in 5, I told her, then took off running with Lincoln's trailer key in my hand. He had been very short and businesslike in our time together during trainings, only showing up for his 30-minute slot and keeping the social talk to a minimum unless he was making fun of me, at which time he proceeded to talk to no end. I had no idea what he did at 9:30 on a Friday night, but I was hoping he wasn't home, so I wouldn't have to deal with that twice in one day. As I jogged across the parking lot, I saw the lights were on in the trailer, but his motorcycle was gone. Jumping up the first few steps, I knocked hard. If he answered, I would just play dumb and tell him I was coming to ask permission to take my dagger to a club. Said club could get dangerous, etc. I stood there an entire minute and knocked again. Nothing. Using my key, I popped open the door and crept inside, feeling like a burglar as I looked left and right. No one home. Phew. I shut the door behind me and tiptoed across the space to grab the dagger that sat atop the kitchen table where I'd left it that afternoon. Just as I was spinning to leave, the bathroom door popped open and Lincoln stepped out, dripping wet, waist covered in a towel. Good Lord, what a body, I froze with my mouth open, just staring at his chiseled chest. When a bead of water dripped from his neck and down his six-pack into his V, oh God, he has a V. I exhaled louder than I should have. Okay, I moaned. I freaking moaned. Kill me now.
Brielle.
His eyes roamed across my bare shoulders, down my exposed legs, and then back up to my face. I knocked. Twice. I couldn't form words. What's my name? Where am I? His gaze landed on my dagger in hand, and his eyes narrowed.
What are you doing?
Well... I ran a hand through my long blonde hair, loosening the curls with a nervous gesture. There's a party tonight at a club, and Angela said attacks can happen, and I thought...
You're going to Chloe's party?
He sounded surprised. I put a hand on my hip. Yes, I have friends, you know. Kind of. Four of them. He swallowed, seeming to finally grasp that he was standing there half-naked and wet, and I was just staring at him like I wanted to lick the water off his chest.
We like him, I've decided, Sarah said.
I chose to ignore her comment.
Fine, take it. Don't do anything stupid, though.
I rolled my eyes. I'll try, but no promises. Turning to grasp the door handle, I paused and spun to look at him once more. Are you going too? I asked. He sounded like he knew of Chloe's party. He nodded.
If you would finally leave so I can get dressed.
My eyes sharpened, and I reached out, snagging a pear from the counter before slamming the door behind me.
Stop stealing my food, woman!
He roared out the window. I just grinned. Every time he pissed me off, I was stealing a piece of fruit. By the time the year was over, I'd have a whole orchard.
Chapter 12
Brielle!
Chloe shrieked as we stepped into the club. She was greeting people at the entrance, literally just a blue door, and then two flights downstairs that led us underground. I smiled, giving her a hug, and introduced Shay. She was super welcoming, hugging Shay and Angela and Luke as well. We gave her our gift, a potion to change her hair color for a month, which Angela had made. Chloe loved it and gave us tickets to the VIP booth before shooing us inside. The moment we stepped into the space, I was assaulted with music, lights, and warm bodies pressed against mine. There was a stage with a live singer who had purple hair, and over her head hung the club's logo, a moon with the third eye inside of it. Under that, a sign read, Happy Birthday, Chloe.
Can I have my next birthday here?
Shay begged, linking her arms with mine. I laughed. Sure, just don't expect me to rent out the VIP lounge. I smacked the VIP tickets on her arm, and she grinned. All right, I'm broke as hell, so let's get some guys to buy us drinks. Shay shook her cleavage to drive the point home. This was an 18 and up club, but I was pretty sure they carded at the bar.
And what will you be drinking, Missy?
I asked her, trying to scream over the music. She rolled her eyes and snatched the tickets from my hand.
Don't mom out on me, she growled. They have mage drinks here, similar to the donuts. Bliss drinks, etc.
She walked toward the red roped-off entrance of the VIP section.
Ugh, I wasn't momming out.
I was momming out.
Screw it. I need to relax and dance and let go of this week. After getting past the big nightblood at the VIP entrance, we stepped into an open, less crowded space.
Noah, Darren, and Blake were all leaning against the bar. When we walked in, Blake caught my eye and waved me over.
Oh my God, Noah's here!
Shay rushed out. I nodded. Be careful, he seems like a player. She shrugged, looking him up and down.
I don't mind getting played.
I rolled my eyes. She said that now, but when she was crying herself to sleep because he cheated on her, I'd hear a different story. We reached the boys, and I introduced everyone again, as Luke and Shay had only met the boys once.
Who wants a drink?
Noah asked, eyes on Shay.
Bree and I will take a bliss bomb,
she told him with a sugary smile. He nodded, looking seductively at her, and then took Luke and Angela's orders next, a mellow margarita for Luke and water for Angela.
Boring,
Shay shouted at her. She laughed.
Someone has to watch over you kids.
Ha! You're like barely older, Luke snapped.
She sucked her finger and stuck it in his ear, making him squeal. They were so cute. Nothing like Mikey and me, who were always at each other's throats. My mom said it was the shock of her life to find out she was pregnant with Mikey when I was 10 weeks old. I couldn't believe that just next year Mikey would be at school with me. The drinks came, and after a few sips, I started to laugh. They were just like the donuts. "Let's dance!" I shouted, chugging the rest of my drink and dragging Shay, Blake, and the entire crew to the private VIP dance floor. I quickly learned that Darren was the joker of the group, challenging us to a dance-off and battling with some pretty hilarious moves. Shay twerked all over him, making him go rigid and wide-eyed, then finished with a booty slap that had Luke and me in peals of laughter. Shay didn't give a shit. Ever. And I loved her for it. The music changed to something more sensual, and I started to grind my hips in the air to the beat, my arms above my head. I love this drink. I love life. I love love. Spinning around quickly, I slammed right into a familiar chest. It was his scent that hit me first, earthy and yummy. God, he was so tall. I wanted to just climb him like a tree.
"Drunk already?"
Lincoln scowled down at me. My hips continued to move, still dancing. Screw him. I love dancing. I shook my head. "No, Bliss Bomb. You should have one. Maybe that stick will fall out of your ass."
"Ha ha,"
he yelled, bending down so I could smell him more. "Dance with me," I shouted, grabbing his arm and holding it above my head. I twirled underneath it like a ballerina. Lincoln glared at Noah.
"Did you do this?"
He pointed to me, keeping his body stiff, just letting me dance with his one floppy arm. Noah grinned.
"Come on, man, lighten up. Just for one night."
Lincoln just glared at his friend and slipped his hand from me, taking his warmth to the edge of the bar where he sipped on a bottle of something clear that looked suspiciously like water. During the next 4 songs, we continued to battle and dance as Lincoln drank his water, watching me from across the dance floor. His long sword hung from his hip. Chloe had joined us and was dancing with Darren. When I broke into the running man, Blake was sent into fits of laughter, but the Bliss Bomb was wearing off, and I was becoming acutely aware of those blue eyes watching me from across the bar. "Be right back," I told Shay, who was grinding on a happy Noah. My chest and forehead were glistening with sweat, and I was dying for some water. I sank into the seat next to Lincoln, who got the bartender's attention. "Can I have a glass of water?" I asked. He shook his head.
"Bottles only. They're $4. You can get free glasses of water outside the VIP section."
Oh. My face fell. "Okay, never mind." Lincoln slid a $5 bill across to the bartender without a word. The man grabbed it and gave him the water bottle. Lincoln handed it to me. What's happening? Is the world ending? Did Lincoln Gray just do something nice for me? Our fingers brushed for a moment as I took the bottle. "Thank you for the water. But are you feeling all right?" I joked. He chuckled.
"Shut up and hydrate yourself so you can go back out there and keep dancing like an idiot. I'm getting some really good videos to blackmail you with later."
My mouth popped open. "You'd better be joking. Let me see your phone." I reached for his pocket, but he grabbed my wrist.
"You'll never know."
He winked. Oh my God. Lincoln winking was nothing like when Noah did it. Noah was an abusive, cheesy winker, doling them out all the time. Lincoln had never winked at me before, and now that he had, I felt like my heart was going to jump out of my chest. Oh, shit. I totally like him. How the hell did that happen? I was standing there, just stupidly staring at him, when people started screaming. Looking out into the main area of the bar, I could see black smoke filling the air. "What's that?" I asked, panicked. Lincoln stood, pulling out his sword and stepping in front of me just as the music came to a grinding halt.
"Demon attack!" someone yelled.
A flashbang grenade went off right at the entrance of the VIP area, and I was blinded by a bright light. The bang was deafening. For a few seconds before the lights had gone off, I'd seen 2 brimstone demons in the crowd, and another demon that gave me the chills, that a Bruce demon who was set to buy my contract. Terror flooded my system. Why is he here? Lincoln yanked me to the ground, pinning me under the bar where the stools were. "Shay!" I started screaming. I couldn't see anything but huge white circles, my ears still ringing. "Shay!" I screamed, going hoarse. There was no use. She was probably momentarily deaf as well. My vision started to return quickly, thanks to my celestial healing, and along with it, my hearing. Lincoln was caught in some kind of scuffle with the brimstone demon. They were clanging swords as people ran screaming for the exit. Reaching into my boot, I pulled Sarah out.
Help!